Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. I'm Pastor DJ Lura, and with me, as always, is Amy Okeson, Dana Mashevsky, and Sarah DeYoung. Well, we are, it's right before Pentecost Sunday, which means that we're coming to the end of the year, which means also graduation. And I don't know about you guys, but I am surprised. I don't know why I'm surprised by this. Maybe it's because it's like I've been here long enough now that I've seen these kids grow up into young adults and are now graduating. So this year, even though I don't have a kid that's graduating this time.
I was like, you're in between years, man. You should feel good.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, one is out and one's getting near. So it's like, all right, we're getting to that point in life. But there's a bunch of kids that I've gotten to see become adults and, right. And they're graduating.
Where's Ryan with his, I'm old.
Well, this is, I feel like Dana and I were just talking about this because we, like, in my brain, Amy's daughter and her friends will forever, like, when I first started working at Atonement, they were little fourth graders who were getting their first communion. And in my brain, I'm like, no, they're not high school age.
That's not possible because, like, I have an age.
Exactly. Like, I am still a young, mere 22-year-old in their first job.
Exactly.
How are these kids now teenagers looking at high school graduation? That's not a thing.
Driving cars.
Exactly. And, yeah. Like, there's still little fourth grade kids who, like, will come to my desk and ask me if I want to buy Girl Scout cookies, and then that's it. Like,
I would love to tell you that this is just a one-time phenomenon, but this is going to happen all the time now. I'm old.
That's what we should have on as one of our buttons.
That is a button.
When Ryan's not here, just Ryan quotes or Ryan recordings.
I agree. And yes, we're coming that. I was talking to my neighbor the other day.
I haven't been here long enough to have any of that. So,
Soon.
And kids, my yard does not have a fence. Everybody else has a fence. And so the neighbor kids like to cut through my yard to the park. We back up to a park. And the neighbor was out, and he's just like, I didn't say anything. We were both out in the backyard, and the neighbor's like, hey, you could ask. And he asked me, he's like, am I just becoming the grumpy old man? And I'm like, I don't know. I thought that that's why I didn't say anything too. But it's like, you think about, am I becoming the grumpy old person that yells at the kids in the yard? Get off my yard!
What's funny is like if I was younger, of course I would think that. Now that I'm older, I kind of agree with you. Darn kids.
Spend a lot of time making sure that grass looks nice.
We were much more respectful when I was that age.
Well, you also had to walk uphill to school, I'm sure, both ways.
Yeah, uphill both ways.
Mm-hmm. Had to kill a polar bear with my trapper keeper.
Yep.
Just to get to school. And we liked it. We loved it.
Oh, gosh. So we were talking about Pentecost Sunday.
Yeah. Yes. End of the year.
Yep.
Yeah, and so anyway, I one thing that we do with the high school graduates is this. It's become a tradition now. Like, you do it once, it's a neat thing. Mm-hmm. You do it twice, it becomes, you know, an event. You do it three times, it's now a tradition, right?
Yeah.
And so we have this video that's put together by Pastor Mark. Or do you put it together?
Nope.
Okay, this is Pastor Mark's production of the kids throwing their hats.
Yeah, their graduation. Mortarboards,
And so, you know, during COVID, we couldn't meet, so we would put together a little service online, and they'd throw these hats, and it's kind of become a tradition. And I love that video. That video just is, I don't know why, but for me, it's kind of like it's the culmination of the school year, and now we're transitioning into summer. And if we don't have that video, then we can't transition into summer. But this year, we're going to be celebrating them in worship. Which I also think is kind of we're beyond the COVID years. We're fully integrated back together again, and we're in person with that celebration. I'm looking forward to that.
And the video. We still have the video of them tossing their hats, but
we get the
also
best of both worlds.
Both. Mm-hmm. And isn't that funny? Like, we're trying to get that there's things in life that people remember, you know, before and after John F. Kennedy was killed, and before and after the challenge or something, and before and after COVID, and before and after 9/11, and there's just things that you remember in life, or before, how you know, like, before and after your oldest child graduates or whatever, we talk about this, and just, it's funny that, like, we talk about that now. It's wonderful to be back fully.
Well, like, it's weird too, those, like, little tradition moments that stick with you, because I remember, like, when I was a senior in high school,
at my church growing up, the thing was the quilters made all the seniors a quilt. Mm-hmm. And like,
yep.
I still have it. It's the best thing ever. And I'm like, that was just like the end of my, that was the sign of like, oh, I've grown up onto the next thing now. This little old lady putting a quilt around me in May in church. I'm like, it's just those things that stick with you of like, oh, you're loved. You want, like, you're being celebrated, those types of things.
Did you see, we have this group and it's a powerful and big group that doesn't get a whole lot of fanfare, and it's our quilting group.
Yeah. I was going to say, so you said that they do the quilts, and I was like, I bet our quilters would do it with how fast they move.
Yeah.
They do.
Dana just updated me on this.
Between 6 and 10 quilts
a day.
A week.
It's a week, like they do it in a day.
You know, they get your buffer about 8, and they go till 11, 12. Mm-hmm. And they get that many done in
with
a day.
An hour break for coffee and snacks.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and they still just
crank them out.
You shared the numbers because we prayed for them and celebrated them because they had this whole, I guess, order of
ready,
quilts
getting ready to
and,
ship them. Yep.
And dresses made out of
pillowcases,
and the numbers were like 200. Quilts and 900 dresses.
Like I think it was over 300 quilts and over 900 dresses. That are distributed to 10 organizations.
That was, their
locally
totals
and globally.
For 2023. That's how many that they sent out that year. And
what I got a kick, though, out of was you asked them to stand up, and it was like pulling teeth.
They did not want
to start
calling them out by
names.
No wonder we don't know much about the quilting group, because they are working in the shadows. Yep. They're just, I'm just here to do my thing. I'm here to have fellowship with my friends. And leave me alone.
They were like, we put the quilts out for you to see. That's all you needed.
You got to see the quilts.
Like,
what are you bothering me about?
And I'm like, come on, I see you. Yep. Stand up.
Did you like make direct eye contact with each one? You're like,
as long as you don't get to the point of like needing the first and last name, I'm being like, I see you there.
Yeah.
Stand up now.
That's right. That's right.
And no.
Well, in the message on Sunday, I used a video clip from one of the Star Wars movies. And little did I know, some of the quilts that were made, one of the ladies came up to me. She goes, did you see the quilt in the back? I said, which one? She goes, it has Star Wars on it. I'm like, are you kidding me?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. She's like, yeah. And she took me over and she showed it to me. And it's got little Star Wars squares from, I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
They kept that one to sell for the craft
I was
going to
say, a couple years ago for Day of Bread, there was a Snoopy Christmas quilt. It's beautiful.
Wow. Yes.
It was popular. Yeah.
It was so cool. Baird and I were in a bidding war for a while over.
Yes.
I let him win.
Anyway, yes.
They do a few every year at Day of Bread. Yep. So have a few on the craft fair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just a spectacular group. Yep. And like you were saying again, it's not about, none of the stuff is about have to.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's when you are with people that you care about and love and you have like a common joy. You have people that actually have a skill. I don't have that skill.
No. Mm-hmm. They love doing it, and they enjoy the time together, and
they love
the
each other.
Of worship of
and
how
they're
they
like so efficient, but yet they're still like very much having
well,
fun.
Well, yeah, if you
yes. like,
I
it's not like
you
go in
anywhere.
There and they're just like,
oh no,
they're talking.
Yeah,
and it's like anger if I miss or sorrow. Like if someone's like, yeah, I gotta go to the hospital and have this. I'm gonna miss quilting group. It's like I'm sorry. But then they communicate with each other, and they also love on each other when those things happen. When someone goes, and that's what you. I mean, that's church. That's family. Mm-hmm. That's what you want.
I had one of them, Pat, share a document with me that she kept. That Mavis Solberg, who was a charter member here at Atonement 50 plus years ago, started the quilting group in 1972, and asked and Pat. That's when they came to church here, Pat and Les Westgaard. And she's like, yeah, this is when she invited, and showed me the numbers. Like some of the years there was only 4 or 5 quilts, and some years there was 100 plus, and now they're doing 300 plus every year. And
phenomenal.
Just that history and someone who loved, Mavis was in there quilting and helping and doing blocks at home. You know, she lived to 106, I think.
Yep.
And
was going strong.
Was
all
going
the way
strong almost to
and
the end.
Sassy.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, and she was a nurse in her career, she would do everything, and so we know those kind of people that like will do anything. So it's not even a question of, well, you're not telling other people to do what you're not willing to do yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, she would do it all, and it was more like, well, why don't you come along? Like, she was really good at that, too.
Yes. Like, she was like, come on, jump quilt.
We're going to do this.
And her daughter Sue is still part, you know, daughter Sue leads the group.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, what a gift to share that. You know, we talk about the gift of what FMSE is and the serving, and that's what, you know, I'm proud. You know, we're all at staff. We're proud that this is something that Atonement, that we take that seriously, that we serve others and we love others and we do it in action.
Mm-hmm.
And these are just two of the
so
ways.
So many ways.
Yeah, yeah. These are just two so of many the ways. Groups. There's so many of us. We could talk a long time about all the things.
There's something about being open to those kinds of opportunities, that if you have something that you think God, the Holy Spirit's putting on your heart to be or to do, let us know. We'd love to walk alongside you and not do it for you, but help you. And empower you to be like a Mavis.
Yes.
And bring people alongside of you. That's what we on the staff at least are aiming to do. You know, a lot of times people can be like, well, I wish our church would do this. Well, the answer is really simple. If God's given you the vision, we will be the hands to help you carry out that vision, because I don't have that vision. Amy doesn't have that vision, but you have that vision, and we want to help you with that.
That's right. We can help you however we're able, but it's, you know, it's your, don't hesitate to say, you know what, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have passion for this and I can do it. You know, it's just like in the feeding of the 5,000 story, which is also has a connection to FMSC, you know, when the disciples came to Jesus and saying, send these people away so they have something to eat. And he said, no, you give them something to eat.
Yeah.
And it's like, if God has put something on your heart, in your mind, to do something about it, you can do something about it, and we can help you find other people who
mm-hmm.
agree and want to help with
and want to be a part of it. Because most likely there's some other people that may not have that the vision, but there's someone who, as soon as they hear the vision, are on board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've told this story before, but in my first call, I got called to a church in Minnesota where I was basically the life groups pastor.
Yeah.
I was the discipleship pastor. And I had a guy come into my office one day. And you ever see someone who's like, you can tell there's something on that they just need to get off their chest? Mm-hmm. And that was the case with this gentleman. And he's like, I feel like God's wanting me to do something. I'm like, all right, well, we have all these different, you know, opportunities at the church. Is there anything that catches your eye? He goes, no. He goes, I feel like I need to be a part of a men's group. I'm like, well, we have this men's group, this one. He goes, no. He goes, I'm not really big into opening the Bible. And, I most Bible studies, I'm not interested in sharing my feelings. And, you know, with the Bible, it's, he goes, look at my hands. I've been working hard my entire life and turning a little paper of the Bible. It's just going to, crumble in my hands. And I'm like, all right, well, but I feel like I need to be, you know, I need to have a men's group. I need to be a part of something. I'm like, all right, well, what are you interested in? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, what do you like to do for fun when you're not at church trying to share your feelings? What do you like to do? He says, really? I said, yeah. He goes, well, actually, I'm a competitive sharpshooter. I like to shoot guns. I was like, that's great. Let's start a men's group around that. He goes, really? He goes, that's, you heard I said guns, right? He said, you know, I said guns. This is a church. I said, well, we're not going to be shooting them in the church. But
we're
going
to set up some targets.
Let's start a men's group, because I bet you're not the only one. I mean, we live in a hunting area, and I bet you there's a lot of people who like to shoot guns. He's like, all right. So we formed a group, and the group was called Men on Target. And it started that first day. We went to the local shooting range, and there was five guys. And it started with me reading one scripture, and I never shot a gun before in my life. In fact, I'm like Batman. Guns are bad. At least that was my mindset then. But I went with them, and I read a scripture, and then we had a simple prayer. I hope no one gets hurt. Let's have some fun. And then we spent the next 2 hours shooting guns. And this man taught me how to handle a gun and understand what a gun is, that it's a tool. It's a tool to be respected. There's nothing insidious about it. It's a tool. It's people that you know, can misuse tools. But really kind of this group had a great time.
Yeah.
And they had a great time, and so they wanted to come together, and they wanted to be in fellowship together. And we formed every small group around around four ideals. We wanted to have, in our time together, we're going to have a little bit of time. Doesn't have to be long, but there's going to be a little time of prayer. We had the simple prayer, a little time of scripture. I think I read a scripture. A time of fellowship and a time of service. And so the weeks went on, the group grew from 5 guys to 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 to I think our max was 46 guys that were going out and shooting guns. And by the time the fall had come to an end, these men, as winter kicked in, decided they didn't want to be outside when it was freezing anymore. I think many of them actually wanted to go fishing because it was Lake Country. It's time to go ice fishing. But they wanted to stick together. So you know what they did? Came to the church. They popped a bunch of microwave popcorn. And they opened the Bible.
Yep.
And they did a Bible study in the winter months. And I think their first study was why guns are okay with God or something, you know.
Something like that. On brand.
You got to tie it in. But it became a group of men that it wasn't so much about guns, but it was about those four ideals. And one of the things that service happens in small groups is when you have a person in your life group or in your small group, your affinity group,
right,
your family or your friends who get sick or in trouble, those are the people that gather around them. And that's exactly what happened with this men's group. In fact, one of those men that was part of that men's group just had a tragedy in his family. And even though he's far away from me,
they were there to support each other.
Yep. And me, as part of that time group together, was reaching out to him. And it was because of that, walking alongside each other, and that's what life groups are about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, we use words like building relationship that those guys were never going to use.
No. Yep.
But they're like, oh, we can do this thing.
Yeah.
You know, we can go to the range together, but God is like, okay, this is how we're going to do this.
There is a little like, you know, there's no silver bullet for any of this stuff, but I will say for people wondering about this in churches, how do you form life groups? Here's a little thing to understand about the difference between men and women, and this is a generalization. This isn't for everybody. Some people, you might be like, that's not me at all. But it comes down to childhood development. The way that little boys make relationships is by playing games together,
right,
and making rules. You know, we're going to play cops and robbers. Bang, you're dead. Count to 10 and running away. Or we're going to play kickball. There's first base, second base, third base. If you pop the ball up and it's caught, then you're out and you got to, like, do a somersault. You know, whatever.
Yes.
They make rules, and it's how they bond. It's why if you see men that are friends that are sitting on the couch and they're watching a football game and they're not talking at all, their spouses or the women in their life might be like, so what'd you do all afternoon? Oh, I was hanging out with Johnny. Oh, okay. What'd you guys do? Oh, we went golfing. We played 18 holes. Oh, what'd you talk about?
Nothing.
Well, how's his wife? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You didn't think to ask?
Isn't that the skit about the
yep.
Or who died? I don't know.
Or, you know, sitting. What'd you guys talk about? The football game. That's what we talked about. That is
really needed something.
Yes.
They'd be there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is how men build relationship, is by playing games together. Whereas women, when they're young girls build relationship by sharing secrets.
Right.
And so it's much more, for men, it's much more physical and out in the open, whereas women, it's more internal.
No and boys allowed.
Yep.
It's also why when men and women get in arguments, often women are actually arguing on two levels, which is not fair. And if men don't know that, that's why they lose the arguments all the time, because they don't realize what actually is going on. Anyway, but women share secrets. You know, two little girls are sitting there in a room, and one of them leans over and says, can I tell you a secret? You're my best friend. In making those secret bonds, those two are ride or die for life. And this speaks to how you build relationship as we get older. And you know, for lack of a better reason, the best missionaries in the church are women, are moms, are sisters, inviting their sisters, their family members, raising family in the church. They're our best missionaries by far. But the way we do Bible studies and small groups follow a pattern of relationship that women are more comfortable with
right. mm-hmm.
than men are. So in understanding that distinction and freeing people to be like, what is God putting on your heart and how can we walk alongside you? It frees people to have opportunities to love God and love people.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think we've gone down that path because people were maybe in generations past when people grew up in the church and this is what you do and it was modeled behavior with some that they, but then somewhere along the line we got off the train, right?
Yep.
And women continue because this is what oftentimes all the science and things that we know women react better to that style of small yep. group, to that style mm-hmm. of study, that style of closeness and sharing with each other. Mm-hmm. And men got off the train. And so yep. we see, you know, there's all kinds of studies of the percentage of men that are in church comparative to women and why somewhere along the line the number entire generations have fallen away from the church. It was because we didn't change with how a few things change, but we didn't recognize quick enough that that was falling away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right.
so it's critical, you know, what you were talking about, DJ, that we pay attention to how people connect
mm-hmm.
and what are they looking for. That doesn't mean we're just doing all kinds of things that the world is doing. But how were we really wired? How did God yep. wire us? And what would help them connect better? Because if you take away distractions, you know, we talk about camp and inspiration building and why you send your kids to things because distractions go away. And even at camp, they have things for all kinds of kids. They have crafts and games.
Right.
They have music and they're out there hitting each other playing dodgeball on the
yeah, right.
on the green, right? Mm-hmm. And there's stuff for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to do better about how we are reaching people and how they might connect with one another and how other generations connect with one another. It is not one size fits all.
Right.
And we have to remove distractions, remove barriers to knowing Christ. We have to stop being hung up on what's normal or what is tradition.
It's the way we've always yeah, done it.
It's the way we've always done it. We have to stop being hung up on that and what is going to help people grow in relationship with Christ. And I think it's important. While also not forgetting our elders and not
right.
forgetting the people that are here all the time. But how can we, who are here and know Jesus and love Jesus and want others, people to know that and have that life,
right.
we have to recognize what are the barriers to them knowing that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we do better?
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. So.
Sorry, soapbox. No.
Well, I think DJ, what you said kind of sums it up well, like with your example of your men's shooting group of that's what I really like about how we kind of define life groups is there isn't a like you need to be following X, Y, like
right.
it's a group that you're going to do life with. We have a couple things, you know, you want to mm-hmm. have your time for prayer. You want to have your time for a little bit of study and, you know, maybe serve together. But if your group is, you know, you're going to go and play Sudoku and maybe chat a little bit in it. If your group is going to be doing service through doing quilts, like if that's your time of coming together to do church,
mm-hmm.
right.
let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, well, that makes me think of like just even the distinction between like Lisa's life group and Ryan's life group. Ryan's life group, they're making breakfast.
Yep.
Right.
Like, that's why they're here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where then Lisa's life group, they're always like, they don't have anything else going on. They're just sitting around the table chatting with each other. Like
and
they
doing
don't
a
have
study, and you know,
yeah,
and
they're doing
caring,
their study, but like they're not
caring.
They don't
about
have all the other yeah. little things.
So what you're saying is the men's group has to be doing something
yes.
and the women are sharing.
Yes.
Interesting.
But it was just like those are like very prime examples because
yeah.
Yeah.
like when Lisa's group is here, they don't have anything else. They're just, mm-hmm. you know, talking with each other and doing their study. Where then like both men's group, they have food.
Right.
like they are
they're
still doing
yeah,
their study.
There's a project happening.
But like
so between the two of us, we put together the life group stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel like you and I are just kind of spitting in the wind? Like, is anyone paying attention
yeah.
at all?
Yeah, I just go.
Do they even use it?
I'm like, I know that one group for sure does this, and am I just doing this for them? Or
then I guess that's who we're
yeah.
doing it
yeah.
for.
I think there are groups that use, you know, and we always talked about that. Like, and I'm in the life group that I'm part of. If we only get to one question,
yeah,
yeah,
it's worthwhile. It's what mm-hmm. God has, you know, it's mm-hmm. they're there as a tool.
So yeah. Ryan's life group has told me on many occasion that if they get through the icebreaker question, it's been a good day.
Yeah.
So they like to laugh at me a lot and my videos.
But there are other groups then that are like, they do it like a worksheet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it
yeah.
is.
They want the questions.
Yes. Which is why I'm like, do I need more questions for those people? Because it's like, boom, 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 boom.
It's that weird balance of like, don't do too many because some groups won't even touch it. And then like, they'll mm-hmm. like do like one question and then there are the ones that are
you
like.
Can do extra credit for a couple groups that yes. want it all, DJ.
Well, so what the way we
DJ's
lay it out is.
Favorite little group. Yeah, yeah.
These are my people. We put. I told Lisa a while ago. I said I would do 10 questions, and because when we would do just three, there would be some people that were like, "We're getting through them too fast." Mm-hmm. So then at one point, I did a bunch, and I had some people were like, "We can't get through them all."
Yes,
and
I'm like, "Too many anxiety."
And I'm like, "You don't have to. No. We have to get through them." Okay, all right. So I thought 10 would be a nice mix, and the first three are the kind of the main questions, and then the next ones are going deeper. Yeah. So if you want to go deeper, you can. Get into the scripture.
You have a very nice break mm-hmm. in there to be like, okay, here are your three that like you should do.
Yes.
Here are your extras just in case.
For those special ones who.
You're really good at answering these questions.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, that's good. Yeah. At least at least one group is like last summer I had one group that said, well, we're going to keep going all summer. Would you keep doing the questions? So we did mm-hmm. for one group. Mm-hmm. And I think other groups were kind of doing something different. So, yeah. But I think this year. Okay. I think
yeah, there's some that are doing service projects for the summer
right.
and social
right.
time, and that's mm-hmm. good. That's yep. important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, it's good to rest.
Yes.
Yes. Like this and some of them are like, we are like people, so mm-hmm. we will not be meeting, right. you know, yep. during the summer, but yeah.
It got to be winter, so yep. they went inside. Mm-hmm. Outside, they were shooting guns.
Yeah.
Love it.
Good deal.